Blog Talk Radio.
Hey, you guys. Hi. Ooh, I'm sounding a little rough because I think I ate too much turkey. Hi there. And welcome to the Global Vision for Living Today. Thank you so much for tuning in. We have a very good show for you today. All shows have been good, but we have one that is very special and near to our heart. And I'm so glad as I see the dashboard hopping, it's popping, and I'm seeing who's coming in by your area code and your phone number. But God bless you. I said, I want God to bless you, whatever. But I want to talk to you this morning because I don't have to keep telling you every week something's going on. But remember, the title of our show, Global Vision for Living Today, whatever said, it is fine-tuned for how you live not only your best life, but to share it with someone else who might be looking at you, watching you, even living with you. You know, sometimes it's very hard to live with people because, you know, we're coming from so many different directions. But whatever direction you're coming from, our show topic today is who will speak for God? Oh, my goodness. Who will speak for God? Everyone is running to and fro. They're talking about this. They talk about that. They're talking about this. But no one really is speaking for God in the way God approves. Because if they were, we wouldn't look out of our window and see all of this chaos. So the show topic today, who will speak for God? Not just talk. We're sick of people talking. Aren't you sick and tired of people just talking? Just talking, and their life is not showing that they're in alignment with what they're talking about. But when you speak, and look at the dictionary, look up talking and look up speaking, you will be amazed at what the difference is. When you speak for God, you get results. When you go around just talking about Him, you get zero results. I'm going to say that again. When you speak, when a person speaks for God, they get results. But when they're just looming around talking about Him because they have a mouth, oh, yeah, I'm going to say, hey, no results, zero results. But these new thought ideas, new inventions, and feats of so-called triumph and all manner of activity has not answered man's quest for freedom and happiness. And, of course, there's more to life than living to be free of anything and happiness. Happy today, sad tomorrow, argue the next day. Crazy. That's ludicrous. What seems to be the problem here on earth? Has any of man's restlessness and his answer to man's hope succeeded? No. Every day something new. Every day something new. If they had to strengthen the power from within and the will to solve and settle the problem, we wouldn't have to talk about it today. We could go on to something else. Who will speak for God? Do we have with us Colonel William Harrison, Colonel Dr. Harrison? He's been with us for over 139 shows. I had no idea. I just looked at the dashboard and I saw that we're in 139th episode. But I see he's with us today. How are you doing this morning, Colonel Harrison?
Good morning. Good morning, Dr. Capitino, listening audience. Doing well. All is well. Thanks for the ongoing invitation. Hope all is well with you all.
You're welcome. Yes, well, I think I ate a little bit too much turkey or something because my voice is raspy. But thank you for being on the show. Who will speak for God? Colonel Harrison, there's so many people out there talking. They're writing books. They're going on mountain treks. They're circling the White House. Everybody is talking. Some say that they're going to talk themselves to death and nothing is going to be changed. Why do you think many, with all of these new thought ideas and inventions and all kind of feats, why do you think whatever man is doing has not solved any problem whatsoever? Why do you think that? Are they speaking for self? Are they speaking for self grandiose? Are they speaking for God? Are they speaking because, oh, I said, yeah, I'm going to talk. I'm going to speak about this. What seems to be the problem? Is anyone really speaking for God? You want to take a crack at that, opening up our show this morning.
Yes, Dr. Cappuccino, a listening audience, very few are speaking for God these days. And the reason I say that, the proof is in the pudding, as the old folk used to say. If more people were striving to live a righteous life, a life that's pleasing to God, Jehovah, we wouldn't have the chaos, we wouldn't have the sin, we wouldn't have the fear, we wouldn't have the food lines, we wouldn't have the need for discomfort, we wouldn't have a lack of employment, we wouldn't have factories closing down. Clearly, King Solomon, the wisest man that ever lived during the 8th century, said there's a way about man that seems right, but the end leads to destruction. And so we have a situation where most men, unfortunately, primarily responsibility upon men, have a way about themselves, allow the ego to get in the way that seems right, exclude God, don't include God, most men. And so as a result, they go through trials and tribulation in their lives. And so if they're married, they have a family, then it causes the family to go through trials and tribulation rather than surrendering, submitting to the true and living God. I just want to quote this scripture and then I'll pause. The great prophet Isaiah, in the Old Testament, says in Isaiah chapter 55, verse 7, "Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts, and let him return unto the Lord, and he will have mercy unto him and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon." So we've turned away from God. We turned away from the church. We turned away from belief and trust in God. And so that's where we are in society, 21st century today.
Wow, I really like that, and I'm sure that everyone that's tuning in, some are rushing to get on the show. It's about 10 and a second trying to get on the show. You know what? I believe you, and I'm sure the listening audience believe you. And it used to be a time where, you know, if sons were in a family, the son would follow the father. Whatever occupation the father was in, his son would follow. All in New York City, Chicago, probably D.C., I know in Atlanta, Georgia, all the way to California, streets known as Skid Row. You see the old signs, and you can look at those signs. Look up in the air and look at the signs, and you could see where it says 1949, 1939, 1929, some of the old defunct buildings that are in Los Angeles, what they call the Garment District. You would find names: Anderson and Sons, Johnson and Sons, Plymouth and Sons. You saw that the sons were already earmarked for the same trade that their father had. Even grandfathers, many would follow their grandfather right into the business. Some of the old shows on television showed that they were working for the father, daddy. They were working for their grandfather. But now you don't see that. Those old signs, while they're there, the majority of them are disappearing with new building construction in what's called wealthier areas. You don't see the sons, the grandsons, following fathers and grandfathers. And it just makes good sense that if a person is a Bible scholar and he would read how the tribes were formed, those sons follow the heads. What seems to be at issue today with the chaos, especially in the field of economic job preservation, and of course, people seeking employment? Are they really looking to their fathers and grandfathers to train them up? This used to be. You didn't have to look for a job, beg for a job. What has happened with that philosophy or way of living? You're automatically coming into my business. The business is yours. What has happened with that?
There's a scripture also for that, if I may. Proverbs 22 and 6 in the Old Testament, King Solomon again says, "Train up a child in the way he should go. When he is old, he will not depart from it." The family has gotten away from training their children up in the ways and admonition of the Lord. Old school parents, this was a prerequisite. They believed in God Jehovah. They went to church. They worshiped. They trusted in him, had less education, had less material possessions, had less money, made less salaries, but they lived closer to the true and living God. Today, we have things, for lack of a better term, handed to us on a silver platter. People have more education, higher education, make higher salaries and all of that, still not satisfied, still not fulfilled, still have anxiety and fear and insecurities. Because the element that is missing, which man was created to admire, to worship, to love, and to adore, is God Jehovah. And so without the Creator, man and woman will always have a void, and that void has been passed on down to our children through generations. And that's where we are today. That's where we are.
My goodness, that sounds scary. But you know what? You are talking about something that is filled with 100% truth. And if the work adage is something that we've lost, of course, it's the same thing with God. Who will speak for God? Number one, you've got to be trained to speak for God. His early prophets he sent out, he said, go tell them this, go say this, go show them that, especially the son of the major prophet and then, of course, the smaller, minor prophet. Who will speak for God? Those men just didn't rise up and said, oh, okay, yeah, you know what, I'm going to get out here. I'm going tomorrow to the Philistines. And I'm going to, no. These people saw visions and portents. And the scriptures say that, and the word of the Lord came to me. So is the word of God coming to the Generation X, Gen Z, the generation right behind us? Who will speak for God? You got to be, number one, called to speak for God. You've got to be trained to speak for God. You've got to know what you're talking about through study of the word if you want to speak before God. I haven't heard anyone lately say, you know, I was laying on my bed, and then all of a sudden, you know, I saw a wheel in the middle of a wheel. See, those, and we could go into Daniel. We could pick up something to Lamentation. We could skip Scott all the way through the Bible and tell how these men got their training. Eunice and Lucia, you know, Paul talks about them. So the whole point of what I think we're getting across on the show is that if you're going to speak for God, just like you were told, you mentioned train up a child and where it should go, then these youth, these teenagers, old folk, everybody just can't wake up and then 5 minutes later start talking for God. There is a prerequisite. Let's talk about that. Who are some of the people that, according to their conduct and who they are, where they came from, who are some of the people that should be out there talking, speaking about God? Let me just boot that talking away. I don't like that. Who do you think the Creator God used and called to speak for him? Let's talk about some of their attributes, because we're going somewhere with this.
In the Old Testament, he used men, as you said, that were called prophets. They were seers. They could foretell things that would happen in the future before they happened, because they had the mind of God. God communicated with them through revelation, spiritual knowledge. In the New Testament, God is called ministers, preachers, pastors, bishops, evangelists. The era of the apostles was during the first century. The earlier disciples were the original 12 Jesus trained in the New Testament, beginning in the book of Matthew, first book of the New Testament. After Jesus trained them, after Jesus' death, burial, resurrection, they became apostles. And they went out and they taught and they trained and they healed the sick and gave sight to the blind, because they had the power of God, the living Creator, through the Son Jesus Christ with them. And so we have deviated from that, because no one has, I say no one, There's a lack of teachers to continue to train those in the way of the Lord. And the teachers who are spiritual teachers first are called by God, given revelation knowledge, get studied in the Bible and the books of the Septuagint and the Hebrew book, the Torah, and all of them to prove themselves. But now we've gotten away from that, lean into our own understanding, lean into our own knowledge, lean into our own ways. And so there's a lack of knowledge, there's a lack of power, and then there's that results in sin, it results in chaos, and it results in calamity, which we're living in these days and time.
You are certainly right. Now, I want to go back to the King James NIV. So in the scriptures, you're saying that they had pastors back in the early church where they actually called pastors. And I'm reading my dashboard here. Can you answer that, Colonel Harrison? In the early church, were they actually called pastors, or were they called missionaries or evangelists, or maybe bishop? Were there pastors? Were the early 12 given the job of pastoring people? And this is a question. This question is, was Titus a pastor? There's a small book there, the Epistle of Titus. So did Jesus call these people, I'm reading that, did Jesus call the early church to pastor, or has this thing known as pastoring? Is this maybe in the last 200 years or something like that? I know they were given titles, but to pastor, did Jesus tell them to go and pastor these people, or did he, because, you know, pastor, he looks over them, he does this, he does this, he does that. I would imagine I've got to do my own homework there, because where I came from, no one was called that. They just got out there and talked. It was not one-man thing. Can you clarify that for us? And,
sure.
Yeah, thank you so much, because this is number 112. This is the number 112 individual that's on the show. He wants some, I guess it's a he, I don't know. He wants some clarification. You mentioned pastors. Did Jesus call anybody to the pastor?
In the early church, the first century, the original 12 that Jesus trained, he selected and chose, he called, if you will, were called disciples, which means students. And he personally trained them. And then later on, after they had became knowledgeable, proficient in the teachings of Jesus, and after Jesus had moved on to the cross and beyond the cross, they became apostles, which means teacher. They were able to preach and teach to spread the gospel. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John records the four gospels of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. And that's where the early church began with those 12 minus one, and then they became apostles. And then there were 12, and then later there were 70. And so the 12 taught others, became 70. 70 taught others and became more. And so they've have emerged to where we are today. And later you find in 1 Timothy chapter 3, it talks about the bishops and deacons and so forth and so on.
Yeah.
But now we have an era we're in. Those who are sent out are called evangelists or missionaries to go out and minister to others. Others that minister in house are called pastors and bishops and overseers and the like, if you will.
Yes, okay, you're so true, because I have it on the screen too. What is the biblical definition of an apostle? And it just says they, a teacher, that they were known as disciples. But then, of course, because you know what, Dr. Harrison, that makes sense, because remember, upon his ascension, he said, go ye therefore, preach and teach. He didn't say, go ye therefore and pastor, try to get people to do what you tell them to do and all that. That was not, he didn't say that in the 3 years before he reached Golgotha. And of course, on his ascension, he did not tell them to go into a building, and Pastor, he told them to teach, preach, baptize, and yeah, 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 yeah. Now, I'm going to do a little bit of more research on that because that's a very interesting topic. Yeah, so if you're talking about speaking for God, from what you and I have just discussed, number one, you've got to be chosen. First, you've got to be found. You've got to be sought after. And you have to be called or summoned. I think you'd be summoning callers the same thing. So you'd have to be summoned. And, of course, you're not going to be called and summoned if you have not followed the Christ and followed his teachings and so forth and so on. I doubt very seriously that the Supreme God is going to get someone like that to do anything. And, of course, we know it takes, oh, my God, I can only imagine those apostles. That was a 24/7 job. So, wow, wow, wow. Okay, well, you guys have heard a little bit us on this show about the pastoring and of course, that evangelizing. I know my dad called him an overseer. This is a very serious job. Who will speak? I think anyone would want to examine himself before he would strike out and say, this is what I'm going to do. Yeah, I'm called by God to do this. Oh, my God. And we know that this generation that we're in is questioning everything. Many people question things because they want to find a flaw or they want to undo what has been said, scripturally speaking. But our information comes strictly from the Bible. And if you can check the sites when you call in, it says here that our category really is the Bible. So while we're giving you some everyday living tips, we have to get our information there. But the main topic of this show is who will speak for God. If you're going to speak, I would imagine you'd be qualified. There would be some backbone to you. There would be some family acknowledgement. And I could go on and on and on. Most of the people that except Paul, if we're going to go to the Bible, most of them had some kind of biblical background. And like Jesus Christ himself, when we were talking about this opening up the show, his father, not his heavenly father, but Joseph was a carpenter. So he grew up and he became a carpenter as well. So here we are talking about following in the footsteps of your father, grandfather. But the main focus right now is when you talk about who will speak for God. Well, what are you going to say? If we rise up and go, yeah, you know what, I'm this, and that. What are you supposed to be saying? I don't think, and I'm looking at a type of book called The Man Called Paul, Once with Saul or something. It talks about how he went to different city states, you know, Ephesus, Samaria, Iconium. We could go through that. But what he did, as that kind of traveling itinerant, traveling overseer, what he did, he went in there and he gave orders to the local churches there. He's a church planter. And he told those that were in charge, this should be done, that should be done, this should be done. He was going around making sure the brethren were encouraged because it was crazy back then. You know, you could have your head cut off. You could be decapitated, talking about the one that they crucified. It's very scary times there, but he kept going. And I'm trying to think, is there any place in Scripture that shows he was there trying to lord it over people? It just says that he had shipwreck, he had all kinds of things going on there, but he didn't stop. And he attributed all to God, even there in that Roman arena when he's being beheaded. His last words is also recorded. Colonel Harrison, you've been a minister for some time. Have you had the opportunity to also go across America, perhaps? I think you're getting ready to go in the Caravan for Peace. Talk to us about this Caravan for Peace. Many are staying hidden, but I believe you have a group that's ready themselves to go across the nation. What are you supposed to do? What is that supposed to tell the world? because it's certainly going to hit TV, this beautiful caravan, because I'm already decorating a huge box that's going to be the outside of the, what do you call these things you go by, Home Depot. They are these little sheds. So I'm already decorating with rags and clothes and everything I can find, because I want to go along with you guys and make a statement. What is that supposed to be about? The International Platform for Peace, Caravan for Peace, slated for February 2021. What are you guys doing? What message are you sending to America?
The Caravan for Peace, that's scheduled for February, Route 66, is to highlight peace, faith, and family. Peace to let people know that peace doesn't only have to exist or should not only exist within oneself or the home, but as exists within the community where we live, our neighborhoods, our jobs, wherever we are, because we are brothers' people. So peace is one of the things that we promote. That without peace, then we have uncertainty, we have fear, we have anxiety, and then ultimately we have chaos. That we're teaching people to go back to the principles that you and I are talking about this morning. Learn the principles of the Bible. Be taught by someone. Sit at the foot of someone, like Timothy sat at the foot of Apostle Paul. Study to show themselves approved. A workman needed not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. So peace, faith, and then we're talking about family, indicating to strengthen the family. The family needs to be strengthened. The nuclear family is so fragmented. The old school family, there was a mother and father in the home, and spent time around the dinner table with the children, telling them the do's and the don'ts. And they taught certain principles and values to children, and every man for himself, every household for himself. So we're trying to bring together the unity through peace, faith, and family through this caravan for peace, through the International Platform for Peace in February.
Oh, my goodness, just listening to you, I wish it was tomorrow. Oh, my God. You know what? I felt something surge in my body as you were talking about this caravan. Now, I do know that some of the early apostles had an opportunity to caravan on foot, you know, going in to different cities. I was studying last night the travels of Paul. And how on foot and donkey web. Oh, my God, he covered a lot of territory. And it sounds like you guys are actually going to be doing that. I like that. You know, we have someone working on our route, and they were even talking about friends. I've asked them, can they come out of different states and join the caravan, maybe to another state, turn around, do a turnaround, and I said, the answer is yes, yes. Anyone that want to join that caravan can actually do so. And, I'm excited. And that's a very good concept that you and your team came up with. Now, do you think, and we have a few more moments to talk right now on this subject, do you think people are ready for peace? The nuclear family seems to be under assault. Hallmark Television, this would be the first holiday show where they feature two gay men. They're all on the screen, you know, behind a big Christmas tree. They look very wealthy. This is the first, and many have boycotted it. I'm not turning my TV on because I was the icon, because, you know, we think a different way. And so much really is happening. Do you see strength and power in what you and the International Platform for Peace is about? Do you see that? Is it guided by God? And you have 30 seconds to speak.
Yeah, the International Platform for Peace is about promoting peace, faith, and family. We strongly believe in that. And unless we return to those three precepts, peace, faith, and family, we won't be good neighbors. We won't be good single parents of a household. We won't be good husband and wives within the household. We won't be able to embrace and help one another. So peace, faith, and family at the Platform for Peace, just trying to advocate unity, bringing the family in unity, bringing with peace and also with faith. And we're at peace within our family. We can I pass it on to other families in the neighborhood and beyond the neighborhood and beyond the city and beyond the state and throughout the country and the world.
www.ip4peace. Learn more about the Caravan for Peace. Learn more about the actual organization. Have a great weekend. God bless you all.